Thank you very much. Now, what I want you all to do is all to do it once again, but at the same time. And nice and loud so we can hear you all, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Thank you very much, everybody. Please have a seat. Thank you. Well, good job. That was very good. It worked out well, especially that cacophony at the end. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we heard this morning, and I picked that verse because of what we read in Acts, that day when they gathered, they were hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ being spoken, all each in their own language. And you can hear the variations and differences and similarities in some cases that was there. Three cats were racing to swim the English Channel. An American cat named 1, 2, 3, a German cat named 1, 2, 3, and a French cat named 1, 2, 3. At the finish line, the American cat came first, the German cat came second, but the French cat was nowhere to be found. Why? Because 1, 2, 3, cat sank. And playing on words here, clearly, for a reason. As you heard from our reading in Acts, there were quite a lot of languages, and we heard this morning quite a number of languages being spoken at this very special place, an event that we call Pentecost. And although many languages were spoken, everyone understood what was being conveyed that day. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For it is in this hope and this message we, as we've read in Scripture, forever saved and forever changed. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Holy Spirit, we thank You for this remembrance of Pentecost and this presentation that we've had. It would have been incredibly confusing in so many ways. No wonder some of the people thought they were drunk. They were all just running around saying garbledygook. But it was the gospel, each in their own language, and we have that great long list recounted for us in the book of Acts. Speak to us this day, Holy Spirit, each in our own way. And help us to listen and hear in the way that we can. And that's that wonderful blessing that we have of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Pentecost is a holiday, or I say holy day, within the Christian calendar, and it's come to mean many various different things, and some churches pay more attention to it than others. We've read about it in the book of Acts, but I also want to make it very clear that this is originally a Jewish holiday, the Festival of Weeks, and it was 7 weeks after the beginning of the harvest, or 7 weeks after the Sabbath at that particular time. And so counting both the first and the last days, it's 50 days after the Passover Sabbath to the day of the Pentecost Sabbath. So we've incorporated this into our faith and had that deep understanding. And it's good for us to understand this because it's a time of remembering that in Passover, they're remembering the freedom that God gave them from slavery, and for us, as Christ died and rose again, the freedom that we have from death, to being conquered. And 50 days later, this great event took place. The 50th day, as I said, was known as the Festival of Weeks, and this feast eventually received the name Pentecost, and it comes from the Greek word, as I talked about, the 50th day, or as literally Pentecost. It's taken from the 50 days reference in Leviticus 23, where God says, "You shall count until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days, and you shall present an offering of new grain to the Lord." It is a festival of harvest. It's a festival of first fruits. And certainly it's a festival for us to remember as the first fruits of the Holy Spirit were poured out. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Holy Spirit holes. And to get a mental picture of this, in the Middle Ages, holes were punched into the ceilings and roofs of churches to symbolize an openness to God. And on Pentecost, doves were released through these small holes, and bundles of rose petals were dropped from them onto the people gathered inside. We really miss a lot of the pageantry that we once had in the church when you think about it in that respect. Think about this day that we'd be releasing doves from the ceiling of the church and having rose petals float down upon us as we celebrate Pentecost. Then the choir, which was all boys at the time, moved through the congregation making whooshing sounds to remind everybody about the rush of the Spirit. I bet some of the kids in our church would just love to do that right now if we let them. Another question, when you think of the Holy Spirit, what bird comes to mind? Well, it's a dove. But instead of a dove, the early Celtic Christians chose the wild goose as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I guess for us it could be the Canada goose. I don't know what church would be like if we'd released Canada geese from the roof of the church on Pentecost Sunday. It would be different, I think, than doves for certain. But it gives us some, I mention these things to give us some idea of the history of this day and how it has been celebrated over time and acknowledged. You know, one of the interesting things is, as it's described in that chapter in Acts, is it says people came from all over the known world, is the word to put on that, which means all from the, all over the Mediterranean and beyond, up into Mesopotamia and even into India. The bulk of the Jews at the time of Jesus that were living in Jerusalem didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke a different language, and they didn't actually read Hebrew. Most of them spoke Greek as a second language for sure, and even their own Old Testament, as we call it, but their own scriptures were written in Greek so that people could read it. Those who were gathered on that day of Pentecost or Shavuot were from all over the European continent, the Roman world, and spoke the language from which they originated. So Cliff spoke Welsh today, and there probably was even some Welsh-speaking people way back then too. And some of these other languages represented today, they would have been spoken in maybe a more archaic version, but they would have been spoken that day too. It was similar as what we presented today in Jesus' day. Only those living in Jerusalem, and again, not the bulk of the Jewish population, there was a small percentage of Jews that lived in Jerusalem, even remotely understood Hebrew fluently. That's why when they were first gathered, and it was on Pentecost, and why each one heard them speaking in their native language, this is the apostles, Peter. And it's not that everybody was able to speak these languages as clearly, because it pointed out they're all from Galilee. Now, there's a little bit of a dig here. You have to understand the context here. When they say, well, they're all Galileans, the Galileans were from the north, and they were considered the not-so-smart group. So the fact that they're saying this is there's a bit of a joke in here built in as well, an insult, if you like, really. Well, not a joke, an insult. Because, boy, they're speaking all these languages. Well, that can't be. They're all Galileans, and you know what Galileans are like. The fact that this actually happened, the conclusion they came from was, well, they're from Galilee. They're speaking in all this weird sounds. They must be drunk. That's all there has to be to it. And Peter gets quite annoyed at this point. And Peter stands up and corrects them all and tells them that this is the Spirit of God being manifested in the people of God. You've all heard the gospel message, and for us, capitalized in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These people heard this message in a way that made sense to them, in a way that spoke to their heart to them, in a way that God could directly address them. The message of today, the day of Pentecost, the message of the church, the good news of Jesus Christ is encapsulated in that John 3:16 verse. And this message, no matter what language it may be spoken in, and we heard 7 or 8 this morning, has caused debate, death, imprisonment, families to split, and it's a message that's changed lives, healed the sick, freed people, and brought families back together again. Simple words, but a powerful message. We must never let the wonder slip away from us in that gospel message, one that we oft hear here in our church and in our lives. I pause for a reason for that, because we hear the same thing as Christian people from year to year to year. And sometimes hearing things too often, we begin to stop listening. And part of the reason I wanted these things being read today in these different languages was to hear that John 3:16 verse from a slightly different angle, certainly in languages that we may or may not understand. And I hope that all you readers that did this got a chance to think about it too as you read it in your own language, your native language to you. And I've always been interested in translation in general, and I've always been interested in what that verse says in your language. We understand it in the context of English because that's primary what most of us speak here. But are the words exactly the same? Is there some nuance that we're missing that maybe another language picks up? Mike's shaking his head there, yeah. See, there's nuances within these languages that drive it home for us. And it's something for us to re-examine and think about. The last thing I want us to do as I close off this sermon this morning is that the concept of peace, and that is that dove and the sense of peace and that release of the peace into the world on this particular day of Pentecost, has become a common Christian a greeting since the early New Testament era. The oldest Christian document in the New Testament is 1 Thessalonians, in which Paul begins, "Grace and peace to you." Peter, Jude, and the author of Revelation, John, also begin their letters with greetings of peace. Paul starts most of his letters this way in Scripture as we read it, usually adding from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. While Christians share the greeting of peace with our Jewish kinfolk and our Muslim neighbors, we understand it maybe in a way that they do not. Peace is a gift from God the Father given to us through Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. The peace that we wish for one another is rooted in the one who himself is our peace. And so this morning, I want you to greet one another. Just take a moment and say, "Peace be with you." And if you speak another language and you can do it in your head, say, "Peace be with you" in your own language. And just do that right now, just for a minute. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I want to hear it in your...
Oh, goodness. Spoken vomit or med vomit.
There you go. Okay. Thank you. Can you do it? Can you do an Afrikaans? Fria Frido? Okay, very good. Peace be with you. Very good. You know, this passing the peace and greeting one another with peace is something that I know I read about a long time ago and know that it's a long-standing tradition within the Christian faith. And it's good to do this for a couple of reasons. One of which is you get to turn around and see who's sitting behind you, because often you don't get to do that. The other is it is truly passing that peace of Christ to one another. When I was doing pulpit supply, one of the churches that I spoke at, they did this on a regular Sunday basis and had stopped by the time I got there. And I had just incorporated that kind of into my standard service. So I did that, and people came up after the service to speak to me and said, we used to do that here, but we stopped. And the reason they stopped was because the minister that they had become a priest, a Catholic priest. And the reason they stopped was because he brought all that Catholic stuff in here and started doing that passing the peace business. And I thought, that's not why we do this. It's not just a Catholic thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to do as we love Jesus and Jesus loves us, and we share that peace of Jesus with one another. You know, by using this ancient and biblical greeting in our worship, we are saying that we aren't just a group of people who happen to meet here as friends or some other reason. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Our unity and our peace is not rooted in the fact that we happen to be like playing golf together, or our kids are on the same soccer team, or any other of our ordinary human friendships. We are here today together as brothers and sisters in worship because and through our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And when we gather as the church to worship, even in our greeting, "Peace be with you," it reminds us of the basis of our union with Christ and with one another. Peace be with you. Amen. Because God first loved us, we are made to love one another. For the sake of the life of the world, we now present our offerings and tithes to God is a sign of that love that he has for us and we have for him.